The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning round, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who'd followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother, Simon, and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You'll be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We've found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come out of there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." This is the word of the Lord. This is really early in Jesus' ministry, obviously, isn't it? This is the time when people are beginning to follow Jesus for the first time. All this is happening in a backwater of the Roman Empire, somewhere that people didn't go unless they were going there. It wasn't between the coast and Jerusalem. It wasn't on a main route anywhere particularly. If you were going to go to Galilee, you had to go to Galilee. That was the only reason you'd be going. A little bit like East Yorkshire, I guess. We have the delight of being somewhere that people don't trample through all the time. And that's a little bit like where Galilee was. It was kind of up north, that bit that people would find difficult to pinpoint on a map. I don't know whether you remember this time. I think it would have been 8 or 9 years ago, probably 8 years ago, when Hull was given the honour of being UK City of Culture for the forthcoming 2017 year. It was given it a few years in advance, wasn't it? And the Hull Daily Mail ran this spot every so often of, could different people from different parts of the country put an X on the map where Hull was? And they were getting it terribly wrong. Some people were putting it up at Newcastle. Other people were putting it near Peterborough. There was somebody I saw put it somewhere near Macclesfield, and there was one in Scotland. People had no idea where Hull was. And then the good old BBC decided to stick Hull on the weather map for a year. And people with eagle eyes saw this little place with 4 letters. And that was Hull. Oh, it's there, is it? Well, that's a bit like where Galilee was. Where on earth is Galilee? Nothing good comes out of there, said Nathanael. Well, great things come out of Hull, don't they? I was born here. Who was born here? Born in Hull or Beverley? Put your hand up. Not that many of us. Aren't we the elect? Chosen by God. There we go. Indeed. Nathanael thought nothing good came out of Galilee. Because nothing remarkable had come out of Galilee at all. But let's just picture the scene. John has been teaching. That's the bit that came just before, John the Baptist, this is. That's the bit that came just before our passage today. And the next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. That's people who were following John the Baptist around and wanting to hear what John had said. And John's main message was repent because there is somebody coming. Somebody coming whose the straps of their sandals, I'm not worthy even to do that, to tie them up for them. So these people who were with John were expecting somebody else to come. So when he, John, saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, there he is, the Lamb of God. This is the one. This is the one I've been talking about. He's over there. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. They stopped following John because John's whole purpose was to gather people to then send them on to follow Jesus. So turning around, Jesus saw that they were following him. They said, he said, do you want a conga? No, he didn't say that, did he? He said, why are you following me? What do you want? Jesus is putting the offer out there, isn't he? What do you want? It could have been all sorts of answers, couldn't it, that they gave, and maybe other people did give different answers. I've heard that you might teach them funny things. I just want to keep an eye on you. Somebody could have said that, couldn't they? Or are you this celebrity, this new celebrity in town? Can I follow you? But they said rabbi, which means teacher. So that's what they already think of Jesus. They already think he's a teacher. What does that say about their hearts? They want to hear what Jesus has to say, don't they? They want to learn from him. You don't acknowledge somebody as your teacher unless you want to learn from them. Teacher, where are you saying? Come, he replied, and you will see. And there's the words that we're going to see repeated in this passage again. Come and you will see. Come and see. So they went, saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. You can imagine, can't you, what a red-letter day that would have been for those two first disciples. There they are. They found the teacher, and they've got a private audience with him. He's taking them back to where he's staying, and he's teaching them already. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two. These are famous people, aren't they? Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did, what did he do first? The first thing he did was to find his brother, Simon, and tell him. So Jesus has told Andrew, and Andrew has gone straight away to find his brother. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother, Simon, and tell him, we have found the Messiah. So he's the teacher. He's the Messiah, which means the Christ, which is, Christ comes from the Greek Christos. It's related to the Latin word Caesar, Caesar, which means king. We found the king, God's promised king. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. Not been introduced yet, but Jesus knows his name. That would be a bit weird, wouldn't it, if you were there? But not as weird as the next bit. You will be called Cephas, which when translated is Peter, the rock. Imagine if you'd met somebody for the first time and without being told, they knew your name. But they didn't just know your name, they changed it to something else. Liz's family is Jewish, and we'll probably say that's a bit chutzpah. You know, to meet somebody the first time, know the name, but change it. But this is Jesus. He's not just anybody. He's the teacher. He is God's chosen king. So we move on to the next day. And Jesus decides to leave for Galilee, finding Philip, He said to him, follow me. So we've got another way of following Jesus here, haven't we? Jesus has gone to find Philip and says, follow me. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael. We've got another one now. And told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. If we know a little bit about Jesus' names, we'll know that Jesus means, what does Jesus mean? God saves. The same name as something else in the Old Testament. What's that, Joshua? Me, says Joshua, yeah. Joshua means the same. In Hebrew, Jesus is Yeshua. Joshua is Yeshua. The same name. The teacher, the king, the one who is going to save, but also human, the son of Joseph, in family unit terms. Nazareth, can anything good come out of there? Nathanael asked. Come and see. There you go, those words again. Come and see, said Philip. And then, of course, Jesus knows all about Nathanael. And what does Nathanael call him? Nathanael says that Jesus is the Son of God, the King of Israel. We can't help but notice, can we, this chain of one will tell another and will bring another, and Jesus will find somebody else without anybody else doing anything. But we've got people telling people about Jesus, being excited about the person that they have discovered is going to be their treasure. The person who is going to lavish amazing grace upon them. The one whom all the nations are going to come to praise. And people are telling others about him, drawing others in, wanting others to know who he is, what he's like, what he's going to do. Come and listen to this man. This man knows stuff. He's a teacher and he knows things without being told them. What an amazing teacher that is. Let's spend as much time as we can listening to what he says, they're thinking. They're telling each other, come and see, come and hear. And those words ring down, don't they? Come and see. They ring down the years. Come and see. Let me tell you what I know about Jesus. Not much, but let me tell you. But come and see. Come and find out yourself. I don't know how you find evangelism. It's a long word, isn't it? Evangel literally means the gospel. So evangelism is gospelism, gospeling. I don't know how you find that. Some people will find it really exciting and brilliant and will love it. Other people will find it really scary. Some people will find it scary for different reasons. Some will find it scary because, well, what if they don't want to know? Or what if they ask me a question I don't know about? What if I end up looking silly? But what did these people know about Jesus? Almost nothing. Because they hadn't met him yet for themselves properly. They just got a glimpse of him and knew that he was somebody to follow. And they didn't say, let me tell you all I know about this Jesus. They said, come and see. Come and find out. See what you think. Have I gone completely loopy, or do you want to come and find out as well? That's what they're saying to each other, isn't it? And I don't know about you, but that really takes the pressure off evangelism for me. Come and see. Not sit down and let me give you a monologue for 10 minutes, and then I'm going to ask you questions about it. That's sometimes what we think evangelism is, don't we? That we're going to corner somebody, and we're going to tell them everything we know about Jesus, and then a few other things that we're guessing at. We're going to then ask them to follow him. Well, that's not what these guys did. These guys said simply, come and see. Come and see. Come and see for yourself. What do you make of Jesus? What do you think about him? No, not what do you think about what I say about him, but what do you think about him? We've got the greatest opportunity coming up, haven't we, over the next few weeks to say to our friends, our families, our neighbours, come and see. Come and see what this Jesus is all about. because we've got loads of events on at St. Luke's and at St. Andrew's and at the Memorial Hall. Come and see this Jesus. What do you think? I wonder if we can have each of us just one conversation with just one person that has those words. Come and see in it. Come and see. What do you think of the carol service at St. Andrew's? Come and see. What do you make of that Christingle service at St. Luke's? Come and see. What do you make of Jesus being for all the nations that international bring and share tea at the Memorial Hall? Come and see. I wonder if we can all have at least one conversation in the run-up to Christmas that has those words, come and see, in it. Be worth praying for, wouldn't it? Worth praying just for one conversation with one person between now and Christmas. One conversation where we get to say to somebody, come and see. And we are going to pray that in a few moments. We're going to pray in little groups, if that's all right. And I think it'd be really good if during the next song we think about one or two people who we would like to pray for, that we would like to be able to have that conversation with, where we say to them, come and see. Come and see this Christmas. What do you make of Jesus? Come and see for yourself. So I'm going to pray for us now. Then we're going to sing. While we're singing, just be thinking about who it is that you could be praying for. And then I'll introduce our time of prayer after that. So let me pray now. Father, thank you that Jesus came into the world. Thank you that when he came into the world, he turned heads, that nobody had to be clever about explaining who he was or with clever arguments or anything, but just him turned heads. And we pray, Father, that as we think now about who we would love to come and see, like these first disciples came and saw, that you would put people on our hearts and that you would help us to think that through as we sing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.